Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
All right. Hello, everybody. Good evening. Happy Thursday night. I know I'm starting this show. Welcome to Lucid Libertarian Special, by the way, Fall of the Cabal series. This is show number 5, continuing from last night. So for those of you that were listening last night, I did obviously decide to go ahead and throw on another show, just starting it a little bit later here. So we're kind of doing a late night Thursday night. Or going into Friday morning, depending on your time zone. we are going to pick the show up with part 13 of sequel to The Fall of the Cabal. And The Fall of the Cabal series, you can find it on BitChute. And if you look up Fall Cabal, F-A-L-L-C-A-B-A-L, you can find it on BitChute. And then I highly encourage you to watch the videos because they obviously do a lot of visuals, like visuals to articles that they reference, verbiage and stuff that they don't speak, but you can see. And so I highly encourage you to watch the videos. And so at least you can get the everything that goes with it. But, you know, even the audio is good. It gives you a lot of stuff to think about. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Even if 10% or even 20% of the information that this series presents is not true, don't dismiss the remaining 80% or 90% of it that is true, because that 80 or 90% is absolutely jaw-dropping. And so we covered a lot last night on most of the stuff on Bill Gates. And so I think, you know, if you were paying attention last night to the five shows that we covered that focused on Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation, you will never look at the guy the same again. You just absolutely can't. They really did a great job of presenting how truly evil this guy is, and or demented or psychopath, or I don't, you know, how many words to describe him. And then we have my blog talk plan for the time being is a 2-hour live broadcast, and then a bonus hour that's included in the recording. And so if you're out there and you're listening, call in before that first 2 hours is up. Well, we'll stir live. And so if you've called in and you're listening via your phone or via your computer, if you use, you know, Skype or something to dial the guest call-in number, if you're on before that 2-hour mark, which will be 10 p.m. Pacific time, then you can continue listening to the third hour, where I will continue on and play these parts of Sequel to the Paul of the Cabal. And then once that's wrapped up and whatever time we have left over, then I'll open up the mic if you want to talk and comment. And most of the time, Blog Talk should let us even go after that, you know, to kind of continue talking just off air and not part of the recording. And so so that's kind of how it works. So from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time is the live broadcast, and that's the time to call in. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3698. Again, 563-999-3698. And you can just hang out and listen. And you'll, so long as you're on there before the 10 o'clock hour Pacific time comes up, then you will be able to remain on the line and continue listening to that bonus hour. And then also, if you're paying a hangout and you want to say something, you want to chit-chat afterwards, I'm definitely open for that. Then you can press 1, and that raises your hand and lets me know that you want to speak. That's how it works. So with that, I am going to scroll down to Sequel to the Fall of the Cabal, Part 13, which is 26 minutes, 42 seconds long. Again, look that up on BitChute if you want to sort of sync up listening as well as watching the video at the same time as you're doing this. It's kind of fun. It's kind of like a movie watch where you get together online and you can watch the movie if you can try to sync it up. It's kind of fun that way. That way you're still getting the visual and still hanging out and listening to the audio. So go to BitChute, seek the Sequel to the Fall of the Cabal, part number 13. And I have it ready to go in another tab here. And I can kick that off here in 3, 2, 1, launch.
Believe us, we really wanted to stop talking about Bill Gates. But do you know how he actually does it? How is it possible that he presents himself as the world's greatest philanthropist, giving away billions of dollars each year, yet ending up getting richer and richer and richer? Did you know that in the end, it's we, the taxpayer, that pay for all his projects? Do you realize that in fact, we pay for our own depopulation? Let's see how Gates pulls it off, shall we? Remember, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is a tax-exempt entity? Remember 501c3 and C4? The only tax they have to pay in the US is a couple of excise duties. In 2017, this was $9. In 2018, it was $383. According to Forbes, Bill Gates enjoys the biggest and best tax break of all time. The American government has missed out on $15 to $20 billion because of this regulation. Let's put things into perspective here, shall we? Gates is richer than 45 countries together. 45 sub-Saharan African countries. 1% of the world's population owns half of the world's wealth. The poorest half of the world's population owns as much as the richest 8 individuals. Those 8 individuals doubled or even tripled their wealth during the COVID crisis. Whereas the medium and small businesses went bankrupt, they increased their wealth ruthlessly. All of this is possible by a global economic system that was set in motion by the cabal and that is corrupt to the core. Isn't it time to focus on that and on redistributing the wealth of this 1%? Time to stop getting brainwashed with sustainable development goals and redirect our energy where it belongs, namely to take down the cabal and to redistribute the stolen trillions amongst the people they bereft? Don't you think this will, in the blink of an eye, end poverty, hunger, and inequality forever? Despite the impression that Bill Gates is giving away his fortune to charity, his estimated net worth is constantly increasing. His foundation is only accountable to itself, which mainly means Bill and Melinda Gates personally. The only 3 trustees are Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett. As a private foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is obliged only to report its high-level financial figures to the US government to retain its tax-exempt status. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has influence without accountability. Please let that sink in. Don't you think it's time to end this abuse of rules and regulations? Don't you think it's about time to redefine Article 501 C3 and 4 of the Internal Revenue Code? Bill Gates owned most of his personal wealth through Microsoft. He fabricated an exclusionary licensing agreement with PC manufacturers, and as a result, he created an illegal monopoly position. In 2004, after years of legal procedures and several court cases, Gates was fined by the European Union. He had to pay $611 million. Bill Gates could not have cared less. Over $500 million meant nothing to him. In the US, Gates got away with a settlement. He made a complete fool of the Justice Department and carried on as if nothing had changed. Gates now uses his monopoly experience in Africa and other less developed countries, where he is actually creating a monopoly on seeds, forcing them onto local farmers, making them utterly dependent and vulnerable. And when the farmers don't comply, they are criminalized and fined. A quarter of a million desperate Indian farmers committed suicide. Others sold their children trying to survive. Gates could not care less. Why wasn't any of this ever in the news? How come we didn't know about this? The answer is simple. Money buys everything, especially broadcasting time.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities. Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about the trouble in trying to be responsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish the same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish the same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 To be truly effective, vaccines, treatments, and diagnostics must be affordable and accessible to all.
Equitable and universal access to vaccination, treatment, and diagnostics.
We must all work together on improving diagnostics, accelerating therapies, and ultimately, developing a vaccine.
Everyone should have access to COVID-19 testing, treatment, and vaccines.
But the task will only be completed when vaccines, tests, and treatments are available and affordable to every child, woman, and man who needs them.
To support vaccines, therapeutics, diagnostics development, preparedness efforts, and humanitarian assistance.
On how to make vaccines, treatments, and diagnostics accessible to everyone.
In addition to investing into diagnostics, therapies, and vaccines.
So the race for a vaccine, for better treatments, for quick and reliable tests.
Impfstoffe, Tests und Medikamente müssen für alle Menschen auf der Welt verfügbar, bezahlbar
und zugänglich sein.
COVID-19 research and development work on vaccines, diagnostics, therapeutics and respiratory medicine.
To provide universal access for the anti-COVID drugs, tests and vaccine.
To make sure that everyone has access to treatment, to vaccines, to a strong health system.
To fight COVID-19. Vaccines, treatments and diagnosis will be the most effective way to do it.
Des moyens de diagnostic, de traitement et des vaccins.
Whether I should be able to access in vitro diagnostics like tests and therapeutics and vaccines.
For better diagnostic and therapeutic medical supplies. We must also ensure that there is access to better treatment and care in the global quest for a vaccine.
In ensuring development, production, and equitable delivery of COVID-19 diagnostics, therapeutics, and vaccines.
For vaccines, diagnostics, and health systems.
Has access to COVID-19 tests, treatments, and therapies.
Gates has established enormous propaganda power. Have a good look at this chart. Apart from his donations to the mainstream radio and TV channels, the Gates Foundation has invested millions of dollars in training programs for journalists. Media fact sheets and newspaper opinion pieces are put together by organizations that are funded by the Gates Foundation. Scientific journals get Gates' money to publish research and articles. So what do you think is in them? Everyone follows the Gates Foundation's lead. It feels like they are everywhere. Every conference I go to, they are there. Every study that comes out, they're part of. You might find yourself someday reading a story about a Gates-funded health project written up in a newspaper that gets its health coverage underwritten by Gates, reported by a journalist who attended a Gates-funded journalism training program, citing data collected and analyzed by scientists with grants from Gates. Do you really think any of it will be objective, honest information? Gates truly is everywhere, in every media outlet, on the internet, and most certainly in each and every so-called fact checker. Even when we wrote this script, various critical articles that we read were taken down from the internet the very next day. That's how far this goes. That's how scared they are. When Baxter Dimitri wrote an article for Defend Democracy Press about something Gates' former doctor had said to colleagues at a conference in Seattle, hell broke loose. These are the doctor's words. I don't know if he had his children vaccinated as adults, but I can tell you he point blank refused to vaccinate them as children. Dimitri wrote, "The news that Bill Gates does not vaccinate his own children, despite being the world's most active campaigner for mandatory vaccinations, should come as no surprise. Studies prove that the elite do not vaccinate their children. But at the same time, they expect the masses to have their children vaccinated. Very rich and privileged parents like the idea of herd immunity, but they don't want to take the risks associated with vaccinations when it comes to their own children. They are worried about adverse reactions, including autism." The studies Dimitri referred to were from 2015 and were still online when we produced this documentary.
I wonder for how much longer. One study was published in CNN Health, the other one in the American Journal of Public Health. And guess what? When you consult any of the fact checkers, you will see that they all fervently deny that the dear doctor ever uttered those words. They will deny anything and everything until the bitter end. After all, one does not bite the hand that feeds you. Right now, as we are editing this episode, thousands of people are getting sick after having their COVID shot. Women are reporting disrupted menstruation cycles. Others suffer miscarriages or have stillborns. People are getting paralyzed due to blood clots in their veins. Some die of a brain hemorrhage, a pulmonary embolism, or cardiac arrest. And once again, no mainstream media coverage.
Come on, baby. Come on. Breathe, baby. Breathe.
Come in, my sip. Come. I'm awesome. Yeah. Can you get enough to be drunk,
yeah? Okay. Okay.
We are not going any deeper into the COVID thing in this series. We produced a separate documentary on that topic, and we ask you to watch it. All that is left to say is that Gates' vaccine manufacturers are exempt from liability, which means you cannot take them to court if anything goes wrong. If your health, your life, or that of your loved ones are destroyed by the consequences of this experimental vaccine, there will be nothing you can do. Bill Gates and his many big pharma companies are untouchable by law. We can cut a long story short. Bill Gates uses laws and regulations to avoid tax. His foundation launders money at a scale the world has not seen before. The foundation works to reduce inequities around the world. Really? Bill Gates invests in bad companies to make massive profits. Bad companies, meaning pharmaceutical producers of poison, GMOs and vaccines with crippling side effects that have ruined millions of lives. Bad companies, meaning agencies for censorship, facial recognition, injectable microchips and spyware, and connected to child trafficking. Bad companies, meaning mines where our planet is ripped apart and heavily polluting fossil fuel companies. Companies where people work under terrible conditions while being abused and underpaid. Companies that sell weapons. The Gates Foundation does not invest in the well-being of the people in less developed countries. They invest in technology, brainwashing us with the idea that only technology can save us from killer viruses out there that we are supposed to be very afraid of. Technology to save us from climate change. Technology to push back the population. Technology to keep us safe. The Gates Foundation destroyed the lives of millions of people by forcing abortions onto women who didn't want to lose their babies. They made many more millions of women sterile against their will. They try to make the entire world believe that eugenics is science and thus okay. They try to make us all believe that vaccines are safe. They manipulate numbers and statistics, and when confronted with the evidence, Gates wipes it away as collateral damage. He now calls 700,000 people with severe side effects of the COVID-19 vaccine acceptable. If you know how much money is put into family planning, i.e. eugenics, by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation alone in the form of grants, you will begin to realize that nobody is safe. The people in Africa and India are mere guinea pigs for people like Bill Gates.
A lot of things we try out here first in India, and then when they work, we take them to the rest of the world.
The rest of the world will follow, whether you like it or not. Just look around. It's happening right now. Gates is not a scientist. He is not a doctor, even though he pays the press to make us believe that he is. He behaves like the president of the entire planet and is treated as such by everyone he owns. The fact that nobody elected him doesn't seem to bother him. With his money, he manipulates newspapers and TV stations, making sure that only his words are repeated and plugged. Everyone is all too aware of what they call the Bill Chill. When you're caught saying anything negative, you can kiss your money goodbye. Critical voices are hushed up. Articles that question his motives are removed from the internet by Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and fact-checkers that are all paid by the Cabal, as I have proven in part 6 of the previous series, The Fall of the Cabal. So, after all of the above, do you still trust Bill Gates? Do you trust any of the big pharma companies or any of his goons pushing his vaccination agenda forward? Do you still have faith in any of the so-called experts presenting their so-called findings via the mainstream media on TV? Do you still believe there will be yet another wave of COVID-19 with different strains? Do you still believe the vaccine will be safe? If so, please feel free to take it. After all, it's a free world. Or is it? Let's see what the depopulation agenda really means in our daily lives in part
14.
All right. Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Lucid Libertarian with Laurie Ann special. You are listening to the sequel of the Fall of the Cabal series. That was part, we're going to move on to part 14. Part 14 is about 34 minutes, 15 seconds long. And like I said, there's a lot of information that's presented, and but you don't really get the full picture. So I really encourage you to go to BitChute, look up the sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, and we're going to start with part 14 and watch the whole series. The Fall of the Cabal series has 10 parts to it, and then they followed it up with the sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, and that's what we're planning on now, and we're going to start on part 14. There's a total of 22 parts currently. They seem to put out about one per month. So part 14, let's see, I'm going to get it queued up on my end too while I'm talking about it here. So part 14 was done June 12th, 2021. So not even a year ago. Kind of to get the time frame of, you know, but it's kind of like, it's also kind of cool. Like, even though this information that they're presenting is, you know, is coming out, you know, from a year ago, it's kind of like, let's not forget all this. You know, we're being so inundated, distracted with, you know, so many other things going on right now. We've got the Ukraine, we got, you know, all this other stuff. And so, you know, let us not forget what exactly was going on a year ago and where things were at, and how much hasn't really changed since, right? So keep that in mind while we get ready to kick off The Fall of the Cabal, Part 14. And then I will also mention that if you want to call in, please do so before 10 p.m. Pacific time, which we have an hour and 20 minutes left of the live broadcast. So call in before 1 hour, 20 minutes is up while we're still on the live broadcast. And then you can continue to listen to the third hour. And then the third hour is part of the show recording. It's not live broadcast. That's why you have to call in while we're still streaming live. And then after I'm done, once we get through as many parts of this as we can before, you know, during that third hour is up, then we can definitely talk. You can raise your hand by pressing number one. I'll let me know that you want to talk and chat for a little bit after this concludes. And then, you know, after the 3 hours is up, we should be able to continue talking. It just won't be part of the show recording or anything. It'll be totally off-air conversation. But to do all of that, to listen to the third hour and to hang out afterwards, you got to call in 563-999-3698. Again, 563-999-3698. Call in before the next hour and 19 minutes. And that way you can stick around. So with that, excuse me, tickle in my throat all of a sudden. Tickle in my throat there. Okay, so sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, part 14. Look it up on BitChute. I'm going to kick it off here. 34 minutes, 15 seconds long. In 3, 2, 1, launch.
Depopulation, Agenda 21 and 2030, Georgia Guidestones, a new world order. Is it really this bad? Can people be so evil as to wipe us out as soon as they get a chance? Well, yes. We've already seen the position of the UN towards a new world order. Let's listen to some of our world leaders and see if they believe in this new world order, shall we?
Nothing less than a new world order. This is the pledge of the world's most powerful leaders, representing 90% of the global economy.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea. A new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
We're seeing a new world order now being built. And I don't think America can retreat from that.
The integration of national economies into a global economy. So we're going to keep on pushing hard to shape an international order.
Sometimes I'm criticized in my own country for professing a belief in international norms and multilateral institutions. But I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, binding ourselves to international rules, over the long term enhances our security.
Dat we ons samen sterk maken voor een wereldorde die weer een tijd mee kan. Voor onszelf en voor het collectief.
Today is the beginning of a global mobilization effort to rally our forces behind this great reset initiative. We need a great reset.
We can actively contribute together to building the 21st century world order.
Wenn man eine wirkliche Weltordnung haben will, eine globale politische Ordnung, dann wird man nicht umhinkommen, an einigen Stellen auch Souveränität, Rechte an andere abzugeben.
De internationale inbedding heeft ons land veel gebracht. Het goed functioneren van de naoorlogse multilaterale wereldorde en de internationale stabiliteit zijn cruciaal voor onze rechtsstaat en voor de kracht van onze economie.
Pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
In this period, when really a new world order can be created, it's a great opportunity. There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
And the challenge is how to build a world order for the first time in history on a global basis.
President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
And the president outlined his vision of a new world order in which the U.S. would participate fully.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale.
A new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
And I strongly believe India will be a central actor in the new world order.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it was a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that is the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. The New World Order is what they all want. The New World Order, as described in the Protocols of Zion, remember? We shall so wear down the Goyim that they will offer us international power that will enable us to form a super government. In place of the rulers of today, we shall set up a super government administration. Its hands will reach out in all directions, and its organization will be of such colossal dimensions that it cannot fail to subdue all the nations of the world. One authority will be glorious because it will be all-powerful. Our authority will be the crown of order, and in that is included the whole happiness of man. We have seen in part 4 that the New World Order's main focus is complete world dominance. Population control, better known as depopulation, is the UN's tool to annihilate the majority of the masses so that no more than 500 million people are left on the face of the earth. A neat number, easy to control, dominate, and subjugate. What we have shown you so far when it comes to depopulation is not all. Believe it or not, there are more ways to depopulate the planet. The Cabal has given this topic a lot of careful consideration and planning. Now, before we talk you into a depression, please do realize the following. First of all, this evil is nothing new. It has been here for many, many centuries. All we do is expose it so we can deal with it and get rid of it, okay? Exposure is vital. It is their worst nightmare. Once you know what you're dealing with, you can act and take back your own sovereignty. Secondly, those who know us and our work know that we never end on a negative note. The scripts we write, the presentations we give, always end on a positive note. There is always an unexpected twist at the end. So please bear with us. We promise you, you will love what's coming. So, let's expose the maggots once and for all, shall we? How are we, the people, being attacked in the name of population control? Wars, natural disasters, famine and drought, plagues and diseases, vaccinations, family planning, chemtrails, GMOs, and additives in food, water, beauty care and cleaning products. Wars speak for themselves. As we've seen, they have always been caused by the Cabal as a divide and conquer strategy and as a way to make massive amounts of money. Wars don't just start. They are instigated by design. Always. Who makes the money? The Cabal. Who does the suffering? We, the people. Next, natural disasters. Think earthquakes, hurricanes, volcanic eruptions, and tsunamis. They don't need much explanation. The earth shakes, people die. But did you know that many of these natural disasters nowadays are actually caused by man? Ever heard of HARP? High Frequency Active Aurora Research Program, an American military research program used to excite the ionosphere via high frequency signals? Using it influences the weather in a profound way.
Well, instead of doing a rain dance, we physicists are firing trillion-watt lasers into the sky to actually precipitate rain clouds and actually bring down lightning bolts. By firing trillion-watt lasers, you rip apart the electrons, creating what are called ions, and these ions act like seeds, like dust particles, bringing down rain and even lightning. In the 60s, the CIA used this to bring down monsoons during the Vietnam War to wash out the Viet Cong. For decades now, these governments have been alleged to have experimented with weather control, but nothing conclusive. This time we're bringing in the laws of physics rather than simply waving our hands and uttering mumbo-jumbo. We're actually using trillion-watt lasers now for floods, for agriculture, farmers, for people planning wedding parties, football games, you name it, outdoor events and agriculture and flooding and even hurricanes. All of them could be subject to weather modification.
Natural disasters can be and are triggered by the cabal to get rid of people. How convenient. Others are engaging even in an eco type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real. Next, depopulation through famine and drought. This too can be triggered by HAARP. Control the weather and you control the yield of crop and the water supply. Create hunger and thirst and you have the people right where you want them. Needy, vulnerable and scared. Then, fast depopulation through plagues and diseases. Take for instance the bubonic plague, the Black Death, that killed God knows how many millions of people across the world in the Middle Ages. What a delightful way to lose millions of people in one go. No bullets needed, no bombs, just plagues. Another plague that turned out to be highly convenient was the Spanish flu. More people died of the Spanish flu than of bullets during the First World War. Between 1918 and 20, an estimate of 50 million people died. One third of the entire world population was infected. It is believed to be the greatest pandemic the world has ever experienced. Worse even than the medieval Black Death. There are several very interesting things about the Spanish flu. First of all, it didn't start in Spain. Secondly, it wasn't a flu. There's more, but let's start with these two, shall we? If it didn't start in Spain, then where did it? In the US. If it wasn't a flu virus, what was it? It was a bacteria that caused severe and in most cases lethal pneumonia. According to a 2008 National Institute of Health paper, bacterial pneumonia was the killer in a minimum of 92.7% of the autopsies reviewed. So why do we call it the Spanish flu? As a decoy, a smokescreen to hide the truth. Why? Because the truth is so hideous. Most people prefer to hear a convenient lie. The first cases of bacterial pneumonia in 1918 traced back to a military base in Fort Riley, Kansas. Long story short, during the first half of 1918, an experimental bacterial meningitis vaccine cultured in horses by the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research in New York, now the Rockefeller University, was injected into soldiers at Fort Riley. The so-called Spanish flu was a vaccine experiment gone horribly wrong. Well, that's what we, the people, would say. The cabal would refer to it differently. They would call it an experiment with the best outcome ever. Millions of American soldiers were vaccinated with this experimental serum. 2 million of them went overseas. They fought under poor sanitary conditions, so the bacteria spread like wildfire wherever they went. The story was then spread that these soldiers would come home with all sorts of European diseases, so the American population was vaccinated as well. On top of everything else, the vaccines were distributed all over Europe. Only the vaccinated died. Healthy men and women in the prime of their lives died. Not the elderly, as would have been the case if it were a flu virus. Who was in charge of that distribution and mass vaccination program? The Rockefeller Institute. Who was the main scientist in charge? Dr. Frederick Gates. According to Gates, they injected random dosages of an experimental bacterial meningitis vaccine into soldiers. Those who survived became cloud adults, meaning they spread the bacteria to others, even the non-vaccinated. In modern COVID days, we would call it shedding. The vaccinated infecting the non-vaccinated. What an amazing coincidence, right? Frederick Gates then, Bill Gates now. Rockefeller Initiative then, Rockefeller Initiative now. Disease developed in Fort Riley, US then. Disease developed in Wuhan, China now. Close down societies then. Close down societies now. Cloud adults then. Shedding now. All for our own good, our own safety. Back then. And now. And just about a century in between. So, back to depopulation through plagues and diseases. The problem with plagues is that they don't occur much. Certainly not in these modern times of hygiene. But not to worry. The cabal is quite creative and always comes up with a solution to every problem. If there is no plague available, you create one.
An epidemic, either naturally caused or intentionally caused, is the most likely thing to cause, say, 10 million excess deaths, either naturally caused or intentionally caused.
Back in 1943, Fort Detrick in Maryland, U.S., was set up as a center of the U.S. Biological Weapons Program. Everything that happened there was top secret. Fort Detrick was a tool of the CIA. It was a dark pit of the most inhumane experiments in the area of mind control and killer viruses. If you truly want to know how evil it really was, we urge you to look into Michael Aquino, the head of MKUltra at Fort Detrick, who later founded the satanic cult of the Temple of Set. In 1968, Fort Detrick hosted yet another secret project, the Special Virus Cancer Program. It was part of the National Cancer Institute. The scientists wanted to learn how to use viruses to make cancer and to force normal cells to become cancerous by subjecting them to viruses. Why? Because cancer is an excellent weapon when it comes to biological warfare. It can be used to take down political leaders without any suspicion of a crime committed. And it can be used to wipe out large numbers of the population, as most forms of cancer are deadly. Approximately 10 million people die of cancer worldwide each year. That's about 26,000 people each day. Two classes of cancer-causing viruses were studied extensively at Fort Detrick's Special Virus Cancer Program. The RNA-type tumor retroviruses and the DNA herpes-type viruses. In the process, two discoveries were made. HIV and KS, Kaposi sarcoma. Kaposi sarcoma is widely known as the gay cancer that often accompanied AIDS when the first cases broke out in gay men in Manhattan, New York City in 1979. As a matter of fact, Manhattan was the center of the first AIDS outbreak, not Africa. It wasn't until 1982 that AIDS broke out in Africa. Still, we are supposed to believe that AIDS originated in Africa and that it jumped from apes, primates, to humans. Not only that, we are supposed to believe that back in 1979, it jumped from African apes to only white gay men in Manhattan. As did the human herpes 8 virus that causes all forms of Kaposi sarcoma, the gay cancer. We are expected to believe that two primate viruses, a retrovirus and a herpes virus, jumped species in Africa at the same time and ended up exclusively in the blood of white gay American men to produce a new immunodeficiency disease in 1979, now called AIDS. This proposed scenario suggests to me that such an unlikely African event has the markings of a scientific fairy tale, and I remain stupefied that such nonsense can pass for science in the 21st century. So, what else happened in Manhattan in 1979? The experimental hepatitis B vaccination program. For 2 years until 1981, the year the AIDS epidemic became official, gay men were vaccinated with this experimental vaccine, not only in Manhattan, but also in cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco. What a coincidence that these three cities became the three big epicenters of the AIDS epidemic. Now, we realize that there will be a lot of opposition and denial when it comes to the man-made origin of HIV and AIDS. We suggest you study the work of professionals such as Dr. Leonard Horowitz, Dr. Robert Strecker, Professor Robert Lee, and the above-mentioned Dr. Alan Cantwell. Back to Fort Detrick and its horrid experiments. Meet Robert Charles Gallo, a biomedical researcher best known for his role in the discovery of HIV and subsequently the invention of the HIV test kit. He was head of the Laboratory of Tumor Cell Biology at the National Cancer Institute. Gallo didn't actually discover HIV, he stole the discovery, held by his partner in crime, Dr. Fauci. Whom did they steal it from? Dr. Frank Rossetti. And Dr. Judy Mikovits. Mikovich worked under the direction of Rossetti. She was the one who isolated HIV from blood and saliva, and by doing so, she confirmed the earlier discovery by the French doctor Luc Montagnier, who had isolated and described HIV as a possible cause of AIDS. When Rossetti was out of town, Mikovits got a phone call from Fauci, who ordered her to give him the manuscript about the isolation and confirmation of HIV while it was still in press. Mikovits refused, as it was unethical to do so. The paper was still confidential. Fauci then threatened to fire her for insubordination. Mikovits still refused. When Rossetti returned a few weeks later, he gave Fauci the manuscript. Fauci then deliberately delayed the publication of the manuscript so that his partner in crime, Dr. Frank Gallo, could steal the content and write a competing paper, submit it, and get it into press before Rossetti and Mikovits could do so. On May 4, 1984, Dr. Gallo published his now famous papers containing the findings of Rossetti and Mikovits, but under his name.
This delayed the development of testing and spread the HIV epidemic through the world, killing millions.
Was Fauci held accountable for his responsibility for the millions of lives his greed had cost? On the contrary, 6 months later, he was appointed director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, a position he still holds today. Well, not much longer, we suspect, as Dr. Fauci is now heavily under fire for his involvement in the Wuhan outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. All the evidence now on the table, we find it hard to believe that Fauci will be on the right side of the prison bars for much longer. Back to Dr. Gallo. Gallo worked with Litton Industry and its subsidiary, Bionetics. Litton Industry is a defense contractor and supplier of biological weapons. Bionetics managed America's Biological Weapons Testing Center at Fort Detrick and ran the entire National Cancer Institute with its special virus cancer program. Bionetics supplied the lab animals, including monkeys and chimpanzees, cancer viruses and vaccine culture media for cancer investigators and pharmaceutical manufacturers throughout the 1960s and 70s. Litton and Bionetics created and spread AIDS and many other deadly viruses. Subsequently, Bionetics supplied Merck with experimental viruses for vaccine studies. Now, that sounds rather clinical, doesn't it? But here's what really happened. They used children as guinea pigs in Africa and at the Willowbrook State School on Staten Island in New York. Children!
Have you ever used orphans to study an experimental vaccine?
Yes.
Have you ever used babies of mothers in prison to study an experimental vaccine?
Yes.
Have you ever used individuals under colonial rule to study an experimental vaccine?
Yes.
Did you do so in the Belgian Congo?
Yes.
These were experiments conducted by the evil trinity of Lytton, Bionetics, and Merck, assigned by Kissinger and the CIA. Mind you, these experiments were in no way less evil than those of the Nazi doctors in the death camps of World War II. In this school from hell, mentally retarded children were injected with vaccines containing all kinds of killer viruses, including cancer viruses. Virus research experiments at Bionetics caused new types of cancer, such as leukemia, lymphoma, and sarcoma, diseases they had never seen before. In 1970, the Defense Department ordered these viruses, including other immune-suppressing viruses. That's right, the Defense Department bought cancer-inducing viruses that had been invented, created by Bionetics, and tested on children. So, in case you ever wondered why we never heard about people dying from cancer in the old days, it's because all of these kinds of cancer had not been invented yet. Merck is one of the big pharma giants that Bill Gates is heavily involved in. According to researcher Dr. Leonard Horowitz, it was Kissinger who gave the order to fabricate the killer viruses. Merck's vaccines triggered AIDS. At the same time, Kissinger prepared his infamous National Security Memorandum 200. That's right, the Kissinger Report, calling for massive third world depopulation. Remember from part 6? The devastating side effects of the hepatitis B vaccine, like HIV, AIDS, and cancer, must have been an absolute triumph in the eyes of the cabal, wanting to depopulate the planet. It didn't take long before the next target of their annihilation program was massively vaccinated, the black people of the African continent. We all know how that ended. Over 32 million people died a slow and horrible death by this brand new disease called AIDS. We promise to tell you more about the other depopulation tools, vaccinations, family planning, chemtrails, GMOs, and additives in food, water, beauty care, and cleaning products. But, as we've gone beyond the time limit of our episodes, we invite you to join us to Part 15.
All right, everybody, thank you for sticking around. And yes, we will continue on with the sequel of The Fall of the Cabal, part 15 here in just a moment. And anybody listening out there online, if you want to, we got 44 minutes left for you to call in, 563-999-3698. Again, 563-999-3698. And call in within the next 43 minutes. So that way, if you're hanging out, you will be able to listen to the bonus hour that not live podcast, but it is part of the show recording. So that bonus hour, you have to already be called in into the switchboard hanging out before that 43 minutes is up while we're still live. And then you can continue listening via your phone or via your computer if you dial in using like Google Voice or Skype or whatever. Anywho, so part 15 is 27 minutes, 37 seconds long. So that will be the final one during the live broadcast. And then we'll have a few minutes left and I'll start part 16. But that'll go over. So the live broadcast will end probably, you know, shortly into part 16 at the rate we're going, right? So I will say again, I encourage you to call in 563-999-3698 before the live broadcast ends in about 42 minutes. Meanwhile, this is going to be sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, part 15. And if you're watching on BitChute, that way you can get the visuals. Because during those musical breaks, those are where they're displaying like a lot of pictures, articles, that sort of thing. And so even though you're listening, you are missing some of those visuals that go along with what they're saying. So just keep that in mind. So I encourage you to watch the videos. And then I've already watched them all, but even listening to them again and watching them again, kind of syncing it up, I'm remembering stuff that, you know, I didn't quite catch the first time and everything. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to listen to the broadcast and then follow it up by watching the videos so that you can see these visuals and stuff and then refresh your memory, because this is a ton of information that is being presented to you on the show between playing, like, you know, at least parts or so during the entire three-hour show. So with that said, again, call in within the next 41 minutes during the live broadcast so that you can hang out and listen to the bonus hour that's off air. And then we can chit-chat after that as well. So 563-999-3698. And then if you do want to chit-chat, press the number 1, and then that raises your hand and lets me know that you actually want to chit-chat once we wrap up. So with that said, here we go with part 15 of Sequel to the Fall of the Cabal. And we're going to kick that off here in 3, 2, 1, launch.
Let's continue where we left off at the end of our previous part, shall we? What do we have left in the area of depopulation in our daily lives? We have changed the order a bit to save what's best for last. Here we go. Additives in food, water, beauty, care and cleaning products. It may be hard to fully grasp that the Cabal seriously thought of all possible strategies to bring the masses to their knees. By design, purposefully, our food and water have been poisoned with substances that cause cancer and destroy our nervous system. ...75% of the adverse reactions to food additives which have been reported to the FDA are connected with aspartame. Those reactions include headaches, migraines, dizziness, convulsions, nausea, muscle spasms, weight gain, rashes, depression, fatigue, irritability, vision complications, panic attacks, memory loss, and joint pains. It is considered that some chronic diseases can be triggered or even aggravate when using aspartame. For instance, brain tumors, multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, birth defects, diabetes, and many more. If you wish to know more about the unsuspected approval by the FDA, the role of Donald Rumsfeld, and the ownership by Monsanto, please do your own research. It's quite easy to uncover the truth, especially with these three leads. More and more products turn out to be magnetic. Why? Can that be healthy? What on earth happened to those products? I mean, we ingest that. Does anybody know what it does to our body and mind? In many countries, for over 75 years now, our drinking water has been poisoned with fluoride, a highly toxic chemical waste product. Apart from being carcinogenic, fluoride has detrimental effects on the brain, the thyroid, and the immune system. Furthermore, fluoride is known for its destructive calcifying effects on the pineal gland. As the pineal gland is known to enhance intuitive awareness in people, one can easily understand why the cabal wants it closed, not open. Toothpaste. 95% of all branches still contain fluoride. Even today, the CDC will tell you fluoride is highly beneficial. Dentists still recommend parents additional fluoride treatment for their children. Yet, at the same time, toothpaste chews read this warning sign. Keep out of the reach of children under 6 years of age. In case of accidental ingestion, seek professional assistance or contact a poison control center immediately. More than 80% of the cases of fluoride toxicity are reported in children below the age of 6. This is caused by the flavors added to children's toothpaste, which leads to voluntary swallowing of the toothpaste. Children under 6 years of age should not use more toothpaste than the size of a pea. Yet, this is what is shown in every commercial. If a 2-year-old swallows 2 tubes of children's toothpaste, nicely flavored, its chances of survival are extremely low. And just in case you thought that maybe the cabal forgot about your care products and cosmetics, I'm sorry to inform you that most products contain xenoestrogens, causing infertility and cancer, plus heavy metals like titanium, aluminum, lead, cadmium, mercury, nickel, and chromium in its carcinogenic state. And cleaning products? According to environmental experts, the average household contains approximately 62 toxic chemicals. Think ammonium, chlorine, and much, much more. Ingredients linked to asthma, cancer, reproductive disorders, hormone disruption, and neurotoxicity. There is no federal regulation of chemicals in household products. Neither ingredients nor products must meet any sort of safety standard, nor is any testing data or notification required before bringing a product to market. Next, GMOs, genetically modified organisms. We showed you in part 9 some of the problems around GMOs. When crops are genetically modified, they can be patented. That means that soybeans, corn, wheat, and basically every crop that was tampered with now belongs to someone. That someone made sure that these genetically altered crops do not reproduce in a natural way by producing seeds. This is what gives them a monopoly position on seeds and thus crops. Farmers are forced to buy the modified seeds each and every year. The modified crops need expensive pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers, all provided by the same companies, like Bayer. One bad season and farmers go bankrupt. The poisoned land is left with monoculture and thus exhaustion. The yield may look bigger and better, but is actually carcinogenic. Ecosystems are disrupted. Insects die. Birds die. Desperate farmers die. The link to depopulation? People on a massive scale will die from cancer. And what is the long-term effect of the consumption of plants that do not produce any seeds? Has there ever been any research into the question what that does to the human reproductive system? Furthermore, the owners of the patented seeds can create shortage whenever they want, for as long as they want. Think famine, people dying of hunger. Control the food supply, and you control the people. Next, family planning. We've already shown you in part 6 what family planning entails and how it is used by the cabal. But our emphasis was on the less developed countries. How about the richer countries? How about you and me? We mentioned a new topic several times now, a topic that will shock you once we show you its statistics. I'm talking fertility, infertility, and our reproductive organs. We mentioned xenoestrogens and their effects on our reproductive organs. If you knew how many products that we use on a daily basis contain xenoestrogens, you'd be surprised that we can actually still procreate at all. Xenoestrogens are man-made chemicals. They can cause cancer and make you infertile. This is a well-known fact among chemists. Still, they are processed in a variety of products that we use on a daily basis, from care products to food and water. Why are those products still for sale? Why are we not protected by the FDA or our governments? You want to know why? Because they are part of the depopulation agenda. They are part of something so evil with such a sweet name, family planning. These chemical compounds can be found in commercial meat and dairy products, in anything that contains pesticides or insecticide residues, in artificial food additives, fast food packaging, tap water, processed foods, dryer sheets, plastic bottles, soft plastic used for baking, pacifiers, diapers, baby wipes, makeup, shampoos, conditioners, deodorants, mattresses and foam furniture, vinyl shower curtains, paper plates, plastic toys, air fresheners, scented candles, birth control pills, menstrual products, sunscreens, fleece clothing and blankets, even the ink on your receipts. They are everywhere. Xenoestrogens entering the skin, for instance by using care products, go directly to tissue without passing through the liver for detoxification. So they are 100% absorbed by the body and can be 10 times more potent than those consumed orally, for instance through meals. Still, plastic wrapped foods heated in a microwave contain some of the highest xenoestrogen levels. Remember that next time you heat your baby food in the microwave. Okay, you want statistics on infertility? To give you a general idea, 1 in 6 British couples have problems conceiving. The latest scientific studies have shown that in most cases, problems around conceiving find their origin in men, not just women. Since the 1970s, the sperm count in Western countries has dropped by 59%. Furthermore, erectile dysfunction is increasing, and testosterone levels are declining by 1% each year. Those men who seek medical help to fight their low testosterone levels can have their sperm counts drop to zero while they're on it. The current state of reproductive affairs cannot continue much longer without threatening human survival. It's a global existential crisis. Worldwide fertility has dropped by 50% between 1960 and 2015. The United States has a total birth rate that is 16% below what it needs to replace itself. Rates of miscarriages are on the rise, and girls are experiencing earlier and earlier puberties, in some cases before the age of 8. In some parts of the world, the average 20-something woman today is less fertile than her grandmother was at 35. Today, the average male is nearing 47.1 million sperm per milliliter. Compare him to his father, who had an average of 99 million sperm per milliliter, and it's clear that this is a deeply worrying trend. It's no wonder that the assisted reproductive technology market is worth about $26 billion and is calculated to grow with yet another $10 billion in the next 5 years. Infertility doesn't just alter a man's ability to make children, it also increases his mortality risk. Infertile men die younger, according to a Stanford University study. Men with sperm concentration lower than 15 million per milliliter have a 50% greater chance of being hospitalized for any medical reason at all, and poor fertility has been linked with higher rates of heart disease and cancers. What a marvel of a chemical compound! You can put it in just about everything, and it will slowly kill off the useless eaters. But on its own, it's not enough to depopulate the planet once and for all. Let's have a look at yet another element of family planning, abortion. We've already shed some light on Planned Parenthood and its illegal side activities, such as selling baby body parts and organs. Remember the number of babies they abort each year? In 2019, it was almost 350,000. And that's just Planned Parenthood. Only 40% of US abortions are performed by Planned Parenthood. Do you know what else Planned Parenthood is good at? Sex education. Planned Parenthood is the single largest provider of sex education in the United States, pushed by UNICEF, UNESCO, the WHO, and thus the UN. They arranged that children in kindergarten, or even younger than that, are now taught how to masturbate and how to sexually please each other. Five-year-olds know more about anal sex than you and me. Now please, don't get us wrong. We are pro-sex education, and we do not believe in a sex taboo. After all, we are Dutch. But I mean, five-year-old kids? Really? Children that young have no interest in sex yet. It's not natural. Planned Parenthood teaches very young children that sex is natural, wonderful, that it's all about equality and everything is permitted. Sure, they talk about consent, but do you really believe a six-year-old or a 10-year-old knows anything about consent? Do you know what we're looking at here? We're looking at a license for pedophilia. Sex with a 10-year-old is called rape. If you don't believe that this entire movement was set up to normalize the sexualization and exploitation of children, we must tell you something about the Netherlands. We have an official political party for pedophiles, set up in 2006 and tolerated by the government. They have their own manual in which one can read how to gain a child's trust, how to sexually abuse it, and how to get away with it. When concerned citizens took the matter to court, the judge's verdict stated that the manual contained nothing unlawful, as texts about child abuse and child pornography are not prohibited by law. Pictures, yes, but not texts. Therefore, the manual was officially acknowledged by the government in 2019. Under pressure from the Dutch people, Grapperhaus promised he would change the law and prohibit the manual. But, as we speak, nothing has changed. The pedo political party, plus their manual, are still acknowledged by Dutch law. The party's treasurer, Van den Berg, stated that rearing is also about introducing children to sex. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's precisely what Planned Parenthood keeps saying, instigated and financed by the UN. The entire LGBTQ movement was set up by the cabal, taken over by Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and thus financed by Soros. Not to advocate equality, but to sexualize and exploit children, to destabilize the family and create confusion. We are pro-equality. We are pro-gay rights. As a matter of fact, we want equal rights for every human being. To us, it doesn't matter whether you're straight, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or queer. But leave the children out of it. It is not okay if drag queens include children in their shows, or when they read stories to young children in schools.
Program. The goal is to get kids excited about books, and particularly books like gender fluidity and or about gender fluidity and giving kids queer role models.
All right, does anybody in this room know how to twerk? And then you just move your bum up and down like that, and that's twerking.
Readings take place at libraries, museums, and other cultural centers in more than 30 cities across the country. Some are small affairs, but many, like the one in Washington, D.C., played of full houses.
It's just really been obvious that there was a need for this in our community.
The library partnered with the D.C. chapter of Drag Queen Story Hour to bring the family-friendly events to the nation's capital.
We are grooming the new generation of Americans.
adaptation's the devious diva you could ever think of.
Hello, my name is Nemeth. I am 9 years old, and I am a drag princess named Lactatia.
It is not okay when parents talk their children into wanting to have a sex change. In countries like Australia and Canada, you can go to prison when you try to discourage your child from having a sex change. That's right. When your little girl comes home one day and tells you she wants a sex change, don't you dare ask her to wait a few more years until she's absolutely certain. You can get up to 10 years behind bars.
Children's Hospital, which opened the first clinic for transgender youth in the U.S. Since 2007, they've treated hundreds of children and teens.
In the past couple of years, our volume has just about doubled.
Oh, and just in case you think LGBTQ is quite a lot to wrap your head around, it has now been extended and is actually called LGBTQIA+. This is now taught in schools. Recent studies have shown that more and more children are confused about their gender identity. Why are we not surprised? What we are looking at here has nothing to do with tolerance, acceptance, or equality. This is a political agenda. See the bigger picture? Family planning at its finest. Destroy the family and prevent procreation. Depopulation in yet another disguise. Remember how we started this episode? We really believed it would all fit in part 15. But the more we researched, the more we discovered. And to our own shock, now that we have reached our crucial half hour, there are still three topics left. Depopulation truly entailed much, much more than we believed upon starting our quest. And so, we invite you to join us for more madness in part 16.
All right, everybody, we are back. And yes, so that was part 15, the depopulation agenda. Continues on. So here we are. We got 12 minutes left of the live broadcast. And if you want to call in and listen to the last bonus hour, do so now within the next 12 minutes, 563-999-3698. Again, 563-999-3698, and that way you can hang out and listen as we continue and continue on with part 16. And I'm queuing it up on my end right now in another browser here just so that I can have the video open in another tab. And so again, I reiterate, if you want to tune in and you want to stay listening to this next bonus hour, call in within the next 11 minutes, 563-999-3698. And that way you can continue to listen as I play the parts during the next hour. And then once I get to the point where I can't fit another one in, then we can chit-chat for a while toward the end of that bonus hour. And then we should be able to continue on off-air as well. So I'm definitely open to sticking around and talking about some of this because, like I said, a lot of stuff is covered. This sequel to the Fall of the Cabal series, look it up on BitChute, and sequel to the Fall of the Cabal. We are going to go to part, what one was it again? 17, I believe. Part 16. So part 16 is where we are going to kick off the next one, which is 26 minutes, 50 seconds long. So like I said, if you call in within the next 10 minutes now, we got 10 minutes left of the live broadcast. And so if you want to listen to this next bonus hour and the next clip in full, because it'll cut off in like 10 or 15 minutes once the live broadcast ends. So you need to call in if you want to listen to this last half hour or last hour of the show, of the recording part, the bonus hour. So 563-999-3698. Call in, hang out, and then once I'm done playing the clips during that third bonus hour, and if you raise your hand by pressing number one, then we can chit-chat. Otherwise, you can just hang out and listen. So here we go, kicking off part 16, sequel to Follow the Cabal. In 3, 2, 1, launch.
In the previous two parts, number 14 and 15, we spoke about depopulation tools. That's what they are to the Cabal, just tools, a means to an end. To us, the people, they are mere weapons. They are actual weapons of mass destruction. We have three left. Here we go, as we have no time to waste. Number 3 in our countdown. Chemtrails. Remember? Clear blue skies and white fluffy clouds? Neither do we. They disappeared several decades ago when all of a sudden planes left strange lines in the sky that remained there instead of disappearing after a few minutes, which would be normal for contrails, condensation trails. These new trails, however, not only remain in our skies, they spread out to form a thin and all-enveloping cloud cover. This new type of trails, often raggedy on one side, were soon coined chemtrails, chemical trails instead of condensation trails. Years of testing went by. Chemicals were found all right, and to an alarming extent. Barium, cadmium, aluminum, titanium, strontium, lithium, heavy metals that are stored in our brains where they have proven to cause Alzheimer and Parkinson's disease. What on earth are they doing up there? People reported getting sick, having headaches, burning eyes, and feeling exhausted. After years of denial and ridicule by the authorities, chemtrails were finally admitted to exist. Not only that, we were told they were sprayed on us for our own good, to protect us from global warming. The thin cloud layer, formed by the heavy metal particles, reflects the sun back where it belongs, away from us.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat.
The organized lack of sunlight causes vitamin D deficiency, which can cause weakened muscles and bones, depression, inflammations, high blood pressure, exhaustion, neurological and autoimmune problems. But hey, it's for your own good. Next, number two in our depopulation countdown, electrosmog. The invisible electromagnetic radiation from the use of both wireless technology and mains electricity. Every single day we are bombarded with electromagnetic fields. Most people don't have a clue what the effects are. Others can feel the electromagnetic radiation to the point where they get sick and barely function. Are they drama queens overreacting to something that is intangible? Well, no. Just because one cannot see, smell, hear, taste or touch something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It can exist, and it can even be lethal. Take for instance carbon monoxide. Why do you think miners used to bring a canary down the mines? If it dropped dead, there was carbon monoxide, highly poisonous and potentially lethal. The miners climbed back to the surface as fast as they could. They knew, like nobody else, that something they couldn't see, smell, hear, taste or touch was capable of killing them all. It's the same with electrosmog. Do you even realize what you are exposed to on a daily basis? Think cordless phones, cell phones, baby monitors, cell phone towers and transmitters, wireless networks like Wi-Fi, microwave ovens, smart meters. We are talking electromagnetic fields. Why is it affecting us? Well, that's quite easy to understand when you realize that our human bodies, on a cellular level, have a tender electrical current of a picoamp. Picoamperes are the smallest current ever recorded. They are a trillionth of an ampere. Now, when you use your cell phone that is plugged into an electrical socket, it will send out a current of 0.2 amps. Forget the pico. This is 200 billion times stronger than what our bodies are used to in the natural state.
Phone charger plugged in. Right. What's going to happen when I plug it in? It becomes a transmitter for electric. Right, and look how far it transmits that. So if you're lying in bed with that next to your head, that is all going into your head. That's my own load. Watch what happens when I pick my phone up when it's charging. So that is going right into your body.
Furthermore, your cells communicate with each other at an incredible speed of 5 to 10 quadrillion electrical pulses per second. What happens when you interrupt that perfectly balanced electrical circuit with invading currents that are 200 billion times stronger? Then, apart from our own electrical current, we have an electromagnetic field. Now imagine you live in an artificially created field higher than this. Over time, your body will become distressed, trying to compensate for the effects of this greater electromagnetic field. As a result, your body will lose energy constantly to the point of illness and exhaustion. Let's have a look at one particular physical effect of high-frequency electromagnetic fields that most people can relate to: the production of a hormone called melatonin. Melatonin enhances your ability to fight cancer. It strengthens your immune system, and it is responsible for complete relaxation and sleep. In order for you to achieve deep sleep, your brain frequency needs to be less than 4 Hz. But electromagnetic frequencies in and around your house consistently interfere with this. As a result, your melatonin production decreases with up to 50%, depending on the amount of electrosmog in your bedroom. If you want to get up in the morning feeling great and fully rested and refreshed, you really need your melatonin. There's something else you need to know about this hormone. It is produced at night by the pineal gland in your brain. Remember what we said in the previous episode about the pineal gland? That the cabal really wants it damaged because it activates a greater awareness? Well, this is the second reason why the cabal hates full-functioning pineal glands in the heads of their useless eaters. It is so much harder to control and oppress healthy and energetic people than exhausted, unhealthy ones. So, disrupt deep sleep and you got the people where you want them. Tired, weary, unstable, and thus unable to think clearly and to see how they are being abused, manipulated and controlled. Too tired to see through all the lies and to fight back. Decreased melatonin levels aren't the only effects of high-frequency electrosmog. More than 2,000 epidemiological studies have proven that it causes infertility, blood clots causing thromboses, pulmonary embolisms, heart attacks, and strokes. Oxidative stress. Damage to the blood-brain barrier, exposing the brain to foreign pathogens like viruses. Altered electrical brain activity and increased behavioral problems in children. Think ADD, ADHD, and autism. Alzheimer's disease. Damage to the central nervous system, causing, for instance, MS and ALS. Cell mutations and DNA damage. Chronic inflammation, weakened immune response, allergies, depression, and cancer. In 2011, the World Health Organization and the International Agency for Research on Cancer classified electromagnetic fields as possibly carcinogenic to humans, based on an increased risk for glioma, a malignant type of brain cancer associated with wireless phone use. Now, of course, you don't get cancer or any of the above overnight. This weapon builds up, bit by bit, day after day, night after night. We asked a group of Dutch researchers to measure EMF peaks in and around the house, and to investigate extensively what the effects of those peaks were on body and mind. Here's what they found. First of all, the peaks mostly took place at night when people are asleep, unaware of what they are exposed to. Secondly, to our surprise, most radiation was measured indoors, not outside and close to the towers, meaning the radiation spreads and intensifies in the electrical circuit of your home. All of your electrical equipment, think laptops, phones, TVs, lamps, electric blankets, coffee machines, fridges, ovens, everything working on LED lights, even the night light in your children's bedroom. Everything radiates EMF like crazy, day and night, especially when plugged in, especially during those nightly peaks, when everybody sleeps and doesn't notice a thing. Until they get up, that is. Then it starts with restless legs, a dull feeling in the head, dizziness, pressure on the chest, pain between the shoulder blades, pain in the abdomen, stiffness and pain in joints and limbs, tinnitus, shortness of breath, coughing, nosebleeds, heart palpitations and intensified heartbeat, a feeling of heat inside the head and other parts of the body, a tingling or wobbling feeling throughout the body, headaches, and a lack of concentration during the day. A lot of those symptoms can be explained by the fact that your oxygen levels drop to a low directly after the electrosmog peaks. When your cells don't get enough oxygen, the results are detrimental for body and mind.
We are now entering the brave new world of smart meters. That means your electric meter will do so much more than just show how much electricity you use. The new smart meters are watching you. They sense all kinds of goings-on. They see when you turn something on or off. They see how many watts your electric toothbrush pulls. They send the record of that little event over wireless networks, bouncing through your neighbor's smart meters, all the way to the power company, where they keep record of all your electric consumption, volumes, and patterns every minute of every day, and store that data forever on computers that you'll never get to see. That data shows when you are at home, shows when you're sleeping, shows when you're on vacation, when you have visitors, when you use a lamp, a power tool, some extra computers, and if you look like you're running a business out of your home. It even senses when you bootleg energy off the grid. Your smart meter data shows a vivid profile of your personal living patterns and whether or not you were at home on the night of the murder. This is not electrical metering. This is personal surveillance. This is a search without a warrant every day. This is your personal private life going straight out through your electric meter to the power company, to the government, to the police, to the insurance company, to anyone who cuts a deal with your power company to look at your life under a microscope. Sorry, it's actually worse than that. People who don't cut a deal can get your information too by simply intercepting the wireless signal spewing from the side of your house. Yes, smart meters are radio transmitters. Here's how you tell. This one is a 1-watt radio station licensed by the FCC. On this all-news radio station, every detail of your electrical life is shooting off to some institutional data center somewhere. Already, the police in Ohio, Texas, British Columbia, and places I don't know about are regularly using smart meter data to pinpoint marijuana grow houses, enforce business licenses, and punish people for doing things in the privacy of their own homes that you were not supposed to do, but they wouldn't even know you were doing if they weren't spying on you. Your power company apparently gets to sell your personal life story to whomever it wants. Any unusual power consumption pattern is considered probable cause to raid you for growing marijuana or running a computer server without a business license. This is about as Big Brother as it gets. Those friendly men with their truckload of smart meters are going door to door with something a little different than a Christmas carol. My personal opinion is that you and I need to demand that these things be taken off our homes. It is not possible for your power company to claim they have the right to install a surveillance device on your house. Smart meters are no different from wiretapping devices. And in case you didn't know, wiretapping is illegal in all 50 of the states and the federal territories. If you let your power company put a smart meter on your house, you may as well walk around all day with a Facebook helmet webcam pointed at yourself. They have convinced themselves installing smart meters is lawful by some reaching to the moon jive called implied consent. If you say they can change your meter, they pretend you consent even when you don't know really what they're doing. Here's a tip. Tell them they can't change your meter. They had no trouble billing you with the old meter. If you send them a notice by certified mail that they may not install a smart meter or any other surveillance device on your house, their implied consent goes out the window. I would do that if I were you. In fact, I did that, and I'm not even you. Those friendly guys on the sidewalk told me that they plan to put a smart meter on every house in America. If they do that, it will no longer be America.
Now, of course, we're talking about 3, 4, and 5G as well. Millions of people are now concerned about the unrolling of 5G, but not many actually understand the exact problems. 5G is not a steady frequency. It is in development. Right now, most countries have 5G of 3.5 gigahertz. Not a big deal just yet, even though the effects on body and mind can already be felt, like we just showed. However, our governments have a plan for their 5G network. They intend to increase the gigahertz from 3.5 to 28 to 60. 28 gigahertz is now at an experimental stage. 60 gigahertz is the near future. The entire Internet of Things, in which everything is interconnected through a wireless mega network, will be rolled out on 60 gigahertz. The future network of self-driving cars will need a complete infrastructure of Wi-Fi tunnels underneath your town, state, and country. Every 200 meters, on every street light, under every manhole cover, there will be Wi-Fi hotspots for 60 gigahertz radiation. The energy consumption will skyrocket. Millions of trees will be cut in order to maintain undisturbed data communication. 5G before climate change. Cut those trees and fry the citizens. For the last few years, and especially during the COVID lockdowns, countless 5G masts and transmitters have been placed on buildings, on high voltage masts and streetlights. The unrolling takes place in a highly undemocratic way, mostly in the middle of the night. Citizens have no voice. Masts and transmitters can be placed on the roof of your building without your consent. No guarantees of safety and security have been given to the people who live in those buildings or in the direct vicinity. According to experts, the problems surrounding 5G can be compared to those of the famous frog that was about to be cooked. Have you ever heard of this biological experiment? The frog doesn't notice a thing at first. He feels good and warm, all cuddled up in a pan with water. But the frog cannot see the fire underneath the pan. The water gets warmer and warmer. The frog is still comfortable. But as he gets hot to the point of being cooked to death, he doesn't move. He doesn't try to escape because it is all happening gradually. He spends all of his energy adapting to the rising temperature. And so, he now waits for the horrid death he is about to experience. That frog, my friends, is you and me. 5G from 3.5 all the way up to 60 gigahertz. Gradually, we are so busy adapting that we will not be able to escape when our boiling point arrives. At exactly 60 gigahertz, the electrons of an oxygen atom start spinning. As a result, the oxygen you breathe in can no longer be absorbed by your blood cells. In other words, when 5G is set on 60 gigahertz and released, we will literally drop dead within minutes. To take this all in, isn't it? We promised one more depopulation weapon, because for some reason, in spite of all the above, we are still alive. Incredible when you think about it, isn't it? So, buckle up. Number one in our depopulation countdown in part 17.
All right, so that was part 16 of Sequel of Follow the Cabal. And yeah, they're going down lots of rabbit holes now. And, you know, that's kind of why I like this series. It, you don't have to believe everything they say, but a lot of what they say, it's like take some notes and, you know, make it a point to do some digging and finding out if what they're saying is really true or has validity, right? And like I've said before, don't dismiss 80% of what they present because 20% might be disproven, right? Or if it's a 90-10. But I highly doubt it goes below 80%. I mean, the research that they do, to present all this information is quite extensive. So, you know, they put several hours, you know, into these things, and I just can't imagine how much research goes involved and that they try to put together in a way in short bits. And so, like I said, we will start part 17. We are in the recording only portion of the show, and it is 10:18 right now, so we got about 42 minutes left. Part 17 is 27 minutes long, so it will be the last one that I will be able to squeeze in, because part 18 is 32 minutes long, so we just don't have enough time to fit both of those in there. We would need another full hour. So I'm going to kick off part 17, and I don't see anybody has called in or anything, so I will wrap it up after part 17 and then see when I decide to throw on a part 6 of this so we can continue on. And so if I do, well, I will do it, just not sure when. The next show, show 6, would be part 18, and hopefully we would get through all the rest of it, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. I think we could get through 5 parts in one more show and then be all caught up. And so, but I think this series is very much worth broadcasting, very much worth getting it out there. They presented this, like I said, a lot of information. And so this is the sequel to The Fall of the Cabal. You can find the whole series on BitChute and subscribe to Fall Cabal. And that way, the, you know, 22 so far, but they've been putting out about one video maybe every month or so on average. So it takes them a while to put one of these things together. So you got to give them credit for that, because, you know, they can't just, it takes a lot of research to put even one of these videos together that are between usually 25 to 30 minutes long or so. Anywho, so with that, it is 10:20. This part is 27 minutes long. And so I am going to go ahead and kick that off. Sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, part 17. 3, 2, 1, launch.
When we started making the sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, upon writing the script, it all fitted in 17 episodes. But the more we studied, the more we discovered. And as time went by, the world changed before our very eyes. A pandemic, lockdowns, a new normal reshaped societies and the world at large. The old divide and conquer strategy of the Cabal and the rollout of the Protocols of Zion had sped up several notches, making George Orwell's 1984 look pale in comparison to our modern-day world. There's no way all of this will fit in 17 parts, not with these current developments. How many more episodes will we create? We have absolutely no idea at this point. Let's just keep moving and see where things will lead us, shall we? We'll stick to our motto, no time to waste. Let's continue with number one in our depopulation countdown, vaccinations. Remember from part 14, there's one very important sentence regarding the so-called Spanish flu pandemic. Only the vaccinated died. This utterly shocking outcome of this vaccination trial, financed and executed by the Rockefeller Foundation, was the beginning of a massive depopulation program that, one century later, would become the ultimately perfected weapon to kill off millions of people. There is so much to say about this topic, but we'll try to keep it short. will give you 9 did you knows, things we think you should know when it comes to vaccines. Please do your own research and check everything we present to you, okay? Here we go. Did you know that most diseases had already disappeared due to better hygiene when the various vaccination programs started? Did you know that babies in the US get 26 injections, 5 at a time, against 14 different diseases? Before they've reached the age of 18, they receive 14 more jabs, COVID not included. And did you know that of all those vaccination cocktails, no studies were ever performed by the medical establishment on their possible side effects? Not one? Did you know that the number of people with autism grows exponentially each year? It is estimated that this year more children will be diagnosed with autism than with AIDS, cancer, and diabetes combined. It affects 1 in 54 children. The medical establishment strongly rejects the possible connection between autism and vaccinations. But how on earth can you wipe away a case like this?
Every day in our life was a party. Every single day they were holding hands and smiling and laughing and looking at each other, engaging in each other. On June 25th, 2007, we brought him in for the pneumococcal shot.
So just that shot?
One shot. We went in at 10 a.m. for the shot. By noon, Claire shut completely off. It was as if she was blind and deaf and complete failure to thrive, from super, super happy, smiley girl to, this is a picture of her. She had full-blown eye contact. She was super lovely. Aww. And she shut right down. And all she did at that moment was stare at the ceiling fan. So that was at noon. We had the shot at 10 a.m. 2 o'clock, we watched Richie shut off. All the giggles, all the smiles, and again, failure to thrive. They lost all their reflexes. They stopped blinking, stopped yawning, stopped coughing, stopped sneezing. So that was 2 o'clock. We watched Richie shut down, and I couldn't breathe. But the, here we go. The worst is when we saw the final one shut down. Robbie looked like he was hit by a bus. Robbie, from that moment on, had a stunned look on his face. He lost his happiness. This is a first-year picture? First birthday.
3 months after the shot.
3 months after the shot. They were no longer engaged in anything or anyone. They lost their smile. They just were in their own little separate world. They never held hands again. They never looked at each other again. Vaccine injury is real. We were told it was genetic. And then we were told by geneticists that there's no possible way 3 children were shut off on the same day. That was absolutely statistically impossible, especially being 2 boys and 1 girl. So we were also told we could not sue anyone. We were told we signed for that shot. No doctors could be sued. No vaccine manufacturers could be sued. So we had severe autism spectrum disorder for all 3 kids entering kindergarten.
What happened is we woke up one morning and we had 3 happy, healthy 9-month-old children. By that evening, you know, we took them for a vaccination. By that evening, they were autistic. What we said to our pediatrician is, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to do any more vaccinations until we know what happened here. What they said is, if you don't continue to do exactly what you did the day your children turned autistic, we're going to fire you from our practice. So
They broke up with us.
They broke up.
They sent us a lovely letter saying we were no longer welcome at their practice because we weren't going to continue well baby checks.
And that is the one decision that we'll never regret.
Mm-hmm. They can argue with families that your child, because it might be a single child, was genetic. They can try and put that back on the family and say somehow your genes are weak. But with us having two boys and one girl, they lose the argument with us, hands down. So we are the living proof that they're all lying.
Did you know that there is no autism amongst the Amish communities? Their vaccination rates are very low to non-existent. Coincidence? Dr. Frank Noonan, who has been treating Amish children for over 25 years, once said, "You'll find all the other stuff, but we don't find autism. We're right in the heart of Amish country and seeing none, and that's just the way it is." Dr. Dan Olmsted confirmed Noonan's findings. He called this phenomenon the Amish anomaly. Did you know that the American government has paid $4.5 billion as financial compensation as a result of vaccinations gone wrong? Mind you, not the vaccine producers have to pay for the damage caused. They made sure they are above the law with their non-liability disclosures. The American government paid, meaning the American taxpayer. Did you know that the exact same playbook was rolled out in 2009 for the swine flu pandemic and the COVID-19 pandemic in 2019? Everything was ready back in 2009, from face masks and quarantine to vaccinations. However, Wolfgang Wodarg, chairman of the health committee in the German parliament and the European Council, spoke up. He showed the world that the big pharma vaccine producers had intentionally spread fear and panic about a relatively mild disease. According to Dr. Wodarg, they had tempted the WHO into defining the swine flu as a pandemic. He branded the H1N1 outbreak as one of the greatest medical scandals of the century. He said, "We have had a mild flu and a false pandemic." What does that remind you of? Is this why the COVID pandemic was necessary? Because Dr. Wodarg disrupted their narrative? You might ask yourself, where was Dr. Wodarg in the COVID crisis? Oh, he was there all right. He spoke up time and again, as we've shown you in our COVID documentary. But this time, the cabal was better prepared and used their propaganda machine, the mainstream media, to the fullest. The people were brainwashed into believing the narrative more than ever before, and Dr. Wodarg's voice got lost in the endless repetition of the fear-mongering media outlets. He was set aside and shamed as yet another tinfoil hat conspiracy nutter, deranged and dangerous to our society. Did you know that 58% of infant deaths occurred within 3 days of vaccination and 75% within a week? Now those are the official numbers, meaning the real numbers are probably even higher. Ever heard of the sudden infant death syndrome, also known as cot death or crib death? It is the sudden unexplained death of a child of less than 1 year of age. SIDS usually occurs during sleep. In the US, about 3,400 babies die of SIDS each year. The sad truth is that parents whose baby died of SIDS were often accused of killing their baby by shaking it or by smothering it. Many of those parents ended up in jail. Many were innocent. Can you imagine the horror? First, your precious baby dies. Then, you are accused of its death. Any possible connection with the vaccination the baby just received is fervently denied by the authorities. You are sentenced to several years in prison. Your family is destroyed, and you get the blame. God knows how many parents had to go through this hell and never fully recovered from it. When you hear what's actually in those vaccines, you will understand that the correlation between SIDS and vaccinations is not based on coincidence, as the CDC wants us to believe. Not only that, it is well known by the authorities and the vaccine producers. Now, if this doesn't make you mad, we don't know what will. So, here we go. Number 9. Did you know that the following adjuvants are used in vaccines? Thimerosal, a mercury-based preservative. For years, pro-vaxxers have been trying to deny the use of mercury in vaccines. Yet, thimerosal, and thus mercury, is present in the following vaccines. Also, DTaP vaccines are still recommended and administered to pregnant women. This slide is actually just a summary. This is the official list of risks. Feel free to pause. May be fatal if swallowed, inhaled, or in contact with skin? Can anybody please explain to us why we inject this poison into children? Then, our second vaccine ingredient, formaldehyde, an embalming fluid, present in the vaccines against. Still, the CDC assures the public that the small amounts of formaldehyde in vaccines are safe, but offers no studies to back such a claim. When the entire childhood vaccine schedule is taken into account, a child will have had almost 1,600 micrograms of formaldehyde injected into its body by the age of 6. Why the heck add an embalming fluid to a vaccine? Then, aluminum, yet another heavy metal, used in vaccines against. On day one of life, infants receive 17 times more aluminum than would be allowed if doses were adjusted per body weight, which they are not. At the current time, there are no known or published studies specifically defining levels of aluminum in any vaccine product based on safety studies of aluminum. According to the FDA's guidelines, 850 micrograms of aluminum is what is deemed safe for an adult. However, the amounts of aluminum a tiny infant receives drastically surpasses the safety levels. Following the current vaccination schedule, an infant gets 1,225 micrograms of aluminum by 2 months of age and 4,925 micrograms by 18 months. Furthermore, a safe level of aluminum has never been established for infants and children. Then, fetal tissue. Vaccines must be grown in a substrate, which simply means that it takes living tissue to grow the microscopic vaccine ingredients. For decades, that living tissue has been aborted fetus cells. This is common knowledge, but not many people know that an Italian research study performed by Corvelva showed that the MMRV vaccine, manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline, contained an entire human genome. Now, the maximum limit of fetal DNA in vaccinations is set on 10 nanograms. This MMRV vaccine, however, went 325 times over that limit. This is both insane and outrageous. These so-called fetal cells are only used to grow viruses. Excuse used by vaccine manufacturers has turned out to be a plain lie. More studies have shown that vaccines contain unacceptably high levels of fetal DNA fragment contaminants. Oh, and by the way, this particular MMRV vaccine gave the researchers of Corvelva an extra shock. Not only did they find an entire human genome, they also discovered as good as no rubella virus, which should have been there. Instead, they found an alarming amount of bacteria and viruses that should not have been there, some of which carcinogenic. And on top of that, they discovered fungi, yeast, and worms. That's right. The stuff we inject into little babies contain retroviruses of humans and birds, other viruses of monkeys and horses, immunodeficiency viruses of humans and monkeys, in other words, fragments of HIV, and platyhelminthes worms. But hey, vaccines are safe! Then, cancer cells. Vaccines contain cancer cells for the exact same reason they contain fetus tissue. Cancer cells, too, are excellent nutrient mediums. They have the capacity to speed up the growth of whatever grows on them. But, just like we just saw with the fetal tissue, it goes further than that. There have been quite a few scandals in the past about full-on cancer cells in, for instance, polio vaccines, that of course were efficiently swept under the carpet by the mainstream media. Last but not least, NAGLase, an enzyme that is secreted by virus-infected cells and by cancerous cells in the process of tumor invasion. Please take a moment to let that sink in. Let me repeat. An enzyme that is secreted by virus-infected cells and by cancerous cells in the process of tumor invasion. How on earth can that be good? Well, it can't be good. And it isn't good. NAGLase prevents the body from producing its best friend, the natural immune booster called globulin component macrophage activating factor. GCMAF activates macrophages, a certain type of white blood cells that attack cancer cells and other foreign invaders like a pit bull defending your body. But NAGLase deactivates your pit bull. As a result, everything bad, like cancer, can grow in your body without limitations. High levels of NAGLase have been found in patients with all sorts of cancer, autism, diabetes, immune disorders, plus viral and bacterial infections. Why on earth is this crap added to vaccines? Well, many doctors asked that same question. They started doing their own research and came up with the same shocking conclusion. Nagalase must have been added to the vaccines on purpose in order to slowly kill people. Not only that, they treated their patients with GC-MAF, the pit bull activator, and with outstanding results. Their research findings did not exactly receive a warm welcome. More than 100 American doctors who investigated Nagalase in relation to cancer and autism ended up dead, murdered, suicided. If there's one thing we've learned from all our research, it's that the vaccine mafia accepts no opponents. And those who stand out, for instance, because of their former connection to that same mafia, and or for having a great amount of followers on social media, are silenced without mercy. Hard to digest, isn't it? And the list that we have presented, both in this episode and the previous ones, is far from being complete. What about electronic cigarettes and vaporizers? Do you believe they offer a safe alternative to normal cigarettes? Forget it. They've turned out to be just as harmful. Scientific studies have proven that e-cigarettes can cause cancer, heart problems, lung injury, and that they can damage and change your DNA due to the chemicals present in e-cigarette aerosols, like for instance formaldehyde and acrolein. And what about LED lights? Pushed and sold as energy-saving delights. Yet, the blue light in LED light bulbs radiates ultraviolet light that damages the retina of your eyes. It suppresses the production of melatonin by a factor of 5, causing sleep and mood problems. And it affects the cancer-fighting abilities of your body, remember? Did they tell you that at the store where you bought them, after your government had prohibited the sales of the good old-fashioned light bulb? And did you know that every big pharma product is based on crude oil? Every pill you swallow? Every candle that you burn contains paraffin, a waste product of the petroleum industry, releasing carcinogenic chemicals. And did you know that microwave ovens destroy all nutrients in whatever meal you put in them? Did you know mammograms contain so much radiation that one's entire breast is not only painfully squashed, but also exposed to an upgrade in one's chances of getting cancer? Could go on and on and on. Everything was done by design. There are no coincidences here. The cabal's deep desire to get rid of the vast majority of us has been worked out in detail in every branch of society, in every aspect of our lives. Whether we die fast through wars and disease, or slow by poisoning us, doesn't matter. As long as we're gone by 2050. Max 500 million may survive to serve as obedient slaves in a new world order under the King of Kings. So, how are they going to finish us off? The ultimately perfected weapon to kill off millions of people in one go has already been activated. Do you want to know just how bad it is and what you can do about it? Then follow me to part 18.
All right, everybody. So that was part 17. And because the recording is going to end here in about 13 minutes, we do not have time to go into part 18, which part 18 is a longer one. It is about 32, almost 33 minutes long for part 18. So hopefully I might, probably not tomorrow night, because Friday I am on, tomorrow I am on 3 to 5 p.m. on the Alaskan Patriot Network with Dahl Arnson. And after that is The Right View with Jemana, also on Blog Talk Radio, and her show is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. And I don't want to try to compete with that because sometimes I call into Jemana's show as well. So so maybe Saturday night I might do the last series of this. It would be show 6. And I think with show 6, we might actually be able to finish the series. If we start with part 18 of Sequel to Follow the Cabal, and we got 22 episodes, so that's 5 total episodes, we might be able to get through it if I crank them out one by one and don't talk a lot in between. you know, it's good luck for that. But anyways, so regular show, my usual live show this Sunday, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. And as usual, the first 2 hours are the live broadcast plus the bonus hour. And I don't have a guest scheduled for this week, so it's going to be a great show to call in and talk and discuss and talk about current events, talk about what's going on in the world, play some clips, all that. So so the regular show, tune in 6 to 9 p.m. Sunday night with my favorite person in radio land, Dahl Arnson, and Alan McFarland, Laughing Libertarian, should also be back sitting in the guest co-host chair. So it should be a good time. And then after that, I do have 2 returning guests. Sunday, May 1st, Amber Richardson returns. She is GOP candidate for Oregon governor. And she was on my show previously, and she's coming back. So excited to have her back. And then on May 8th is another returning guest, Arleon Noble, and he is a Libertarian candidate for Oregon governor. And April 25th, they are supposed to all be included in a debate. So along with a couple other of my guests, Nick Hess is going to be included. I'm not sure if Carrie McQuestion will be. I'll have to look again. But they're gathering up several people for a gubernatorial debate, and that will include Arleon Noble from the Libertarian Party. So it should be quite interesting. I'm going to stay tuned to that. And so having both Amber and Arleon Noble on the 1st and then the 8th, that will work out really great because we can talk about that debate and other things going on in their campaigns as an update. So definitely stay tuned. I appreciate you. And so perhaps look for the next installment, show number 6. And I might do that on Saturday night. We'll see. Maybe Saturday night. And then Sunday I have my live show. So if I don't do it Saturday night, then probably Monday night next week. So, yeah, we're going to have to see when I can fit in the next 3-hour show to finish up this series. And so who knows? So keep an eye out. Look on Blog Talk. If you sign up with a free account on Blog Talk, you can set up your reminders. You can set up your followers, you know, people that you follow. So you can follow Lucid Libertarian, then you'll get email notifications, that should give you a heads up if I've, you know, got a new show scheduled and all that good stuff. So anyways, with that, I bid you a good night, and we're heading into the weekend. So have a happy Friday and have a good weekend, and definitely tune in if you like tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. Alaska Patriot Network, where I am Dahl Arntzen's co-host and sidekick for her show, Alaska Patriot Network. And then also definitely tune in Sunday, 6 to 9 p.m. for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne show. And Dahl Arntzen will join me as well, of course, and Alan McFarlane, the Laughing Libertarian. So it should be a good time and should be a good show. With that, have a great night. Thank you for tuning in, and see you next time.